My name is Peter. I'm a member of this church, Silver Street Community Church. And that verse we just, the part of the Bible we read, I think links up very well with the part of Matthew we're going to be looking at today. That's from Matthew chapter 12. That's on page 978 in our church Bibles. All right, hope you're all there. Yeah, let me read it. From verse 46 to 50, it says, "While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you.' He replied to him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' Pointing to his disciples, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, please show us great and wonderful things in your word today. Help us to see you, who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine you have gone for a job. And in this job interview, they've asked you to do a character assessment of yourself to tell the bosses who exactly you are, because they don't know you and they really want to take the right people for their jobs. Or if you're a people student and you're applying for a school, this nice school you really want to go, or to a university you want to go to, one of the best universities in the country, and you have applied for it, and they have called you for an interview. And they've asked you to do a personal statement about yourself. Think about it. What would you write about yourself? Of course, you start by telling them their name, won't you? You know, who is your name? What's your name? Or where do you come from? What's your background? In your work, where did you work before? If you're a student, which school did you go before? But most often than not, you write about your parents as well, about your brothers, about your sisters. You'll talk about all your family background. And rightfully so, because our family backgrounds have a lot of influence in shaping us and determining who we are. Families provide us with identity, foundation. Family provides, really, most cases, determine who we are. You find people making statements like, "Blood is thicker than water." Families stick together. You resemble your mother. You resemble your dad. All these statements are actually meant to show us how much and how important families are to us. Which really does impact our lives in so many ways, as you can imagine. And you find most core values and beliefs we hold so dearly, we inherit them from our families. You hear people say, "Oh, you behave like your brother. You behave like your sister. You behave like your uncle," because of that influence your family background has had on you. And that's exactly what Jesus is bringing to the attention of the disciples in these verses. Look at verse 49. He replied to him, "Who is your mother? Who is my mother? And who is my brother?" Jesus is making them aware of the kind of family they now belong to, which, as you can imagine, really will influence their life so much, and what's going to determine who they are and how they behave. Jesus refers to the disciples as part of his family. It must have been confusing to all who were listening in that crowd. Can you imagine there's a big crowd here? And then suddenly Jesus is pointing to the disciples. These are my brothers. This is my mother. The messenger must have been left speechless and confused. The disciples looking at each other thinking, what is Jesus talking about? And suddenly something clicked. The disciples have just realized, actually, becoming part of God's family is even much better than they had expected. Following Jesus means becoming part of God's royal family. You become royalty by joining God's family. And that's what the disciples had become. They became royalty by following the royal king. What a privilege it is to be part of God's royal family. Jesus, the royal son, came from heaven. Jesus, miracle worker, doing all these wonderful things, healing people, delivering people from demons, turning water into wine, doing all wonderful things that had never been seen before. Now he's referring to these disciples as part of his family. It's wonderful. And this family they were joining was not just like any other family. This family was a huge family. It was a wide family. It was an eternal family. A family that's going to influence all peoples of the world that will ever believe in Jesus. And which includes you and me today here. And everybody today who is gathered everywhere in the world worshiping and praising Jesus. They belong to that royal family. Jesus, the royal son, calls us to his royal family. What a beautiful thing it is. I'm glad I'm part of this royal family. Are you glad too? I was reading up a story featured by the BBC a few years ago. The story of a Ghanaian royalty living in East London. Her name is Promise Adama Togoba. She moved to the UK in 1963. But it was not until 2013 that she realized she was actually part of a royal family when important documents were discovered that put her very close to the royal family. Her grandfather, Togbe Adama II, had been a ruler of the Ewe community in the southeast of Ghana. It was shocking. She was surprised at her sudden change of status. Now she's royalty, yet she was living just like a normal person when she did not understand who she was. She was overjoyed and surprised. Now she's treated like royalty. When she goes back to Ghana, she's getting royal status and royal treatment, enjoying all the royal perks that come along with that title she's holding. But you can imagine how many privileges she missed out on because she did not understand her royal status. She was living for so many years as just a commoner, as a normal person. Yet, her status was much more than what she was living on. In these verses, Jesus uses this opportunity to reveal to the disciples that they belong to God's royal family. And he done this in front of each and every person who was attendance in that crowd. The Pharisees were there, the teachers of the law were there, and every other person who was there, they heard this. Jesus puts his relationship with the disciples in the same level as his relationship with his physical family, his mother and brothers. Of course, it's important to note that Jesus loved his family. Because at first glance, when you read this, it looks like Jesus is being disrespectful to his mother. But actually, we see in so many places in the Gospels how Jesus loved his mother. Like the first miracle Jesus made, changing water into wine in a wedding in Cana. It was prompted by his mother. Jesus done that miracle out of respect and out of obedience to his mother. Because he stated his time had not yet come. But nevertheless, he still went ahead and done this miracle, obeying his mother. Even when he was hanging on the cross, when he was just in the last few minutes, seconds about to die, he made sure his mother was well taken care of when he's gone. He said to John, "Here is your mother." And to his mother, "Here is your son." And from there and then, John takes Mary to his house and made sure Mary's needs are well taken care of. That's how much Jesus loved his mother. Now, Jesus' love for his mother and his family was there to be seen. So when he refers to the disciples as part of his family, it's a special thing. Now, in the past few weeks, we'll be looking at different reactions to Jesus. How different people reacted to King Jesus. Last week we saw the Pharisees and the teachers of the law cynically asking Jesus to show them a sign, challenging Jesus to prove if he's God, but actually not wanting to know the answer, just using it as a way to try to trip him off. Now, that's the wrong way to reacting to King Jesus. These verses we're looking at here today tell us no, that's the wrong way to reacting to King Jesus. These verses are going to show us the right way of reacting to the royal king. How do we as Christians, believers, react to the king? How should we do it? And those who are non-believers, how should they react to this royal king? We are going to look at two forms of reactions to the royal king. And that's obedience to his calling and obedience to his command. So the first one we're going to look at is obey his call. Now throughout chapter 12, we see Jesus speaking to the crowd. And he's been teaching non-stop. Teaching them even this moment when his brother and mother come to see him and are waiting for him outside. Jesus is actually busy talking to the crowd. So he's in the house, he's in the building. His mother and brothers are outside. So somebody pushes through the crowd to come and tell Jesus that actually your mother and brothers are outside wanting to speak to you. You would think Jesus would stop everything he's doing and immediately go and attend to his mother and brothers. Maybe that's what I would have done if my mother came to me and said, "Look, I want to speak to you." He'd be saying, "Oh, let me speak to my mom first. I'll come and continue." But surprisingly, that's not what Jesus does. Instead, he asks the messenger a rather strange question. In verse 48, he replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Jesus wasn't trying to trick the messenger, but he's trying to teach him and to teach us here today and to teach those who are hearing a very important spiritual lesson. Jesus asked this question so that he can draw the attention to the point that he's going to make in verse 49, which is pointing to the disciples. He said, "Here is my mother, and here are my brothers." Jesus is not talking about a physical family. Of course, the physical family is outside. But now he's talking about a different family. And that's a spiritual family. The family he's talking about is not limited by birth. This family is united by the royal son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the royal son, came to live, he came to teach, and he came to die on the cross for our sins. And his death on the cross is an invitation to all who believe in him to join this royal family. As many as believe in him will join this royal family. As many as believe in him have a right to be part of his royal family. I want to ask you a question here today. Are you part of God's royal family? Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If not, what are you waiting for? It's easy. It's free. You don't have to be born in this royal family. The first step of joining God's royal family is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to invite him to your life and say, "Be my Lord, be my Savior, I surrender to you." That's the first step. There and then, you join God's royal family and you start enjoying these royal perks of being part of this great, wonderful family of God. Things like enjoying the eternal life that we get by becoming part of God's royal family. Believing Jesus grants us eternal life. Have you opened your heart to him today? Becoming part of royal family means saying, "Jesus, come and reside in me. Come and live in me. Please come and make me to be like you. Help me to be like the royal son." When you have Jesus, you have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You don't fight your battles on your own anymore. You have somebody to call on, somebody who is more able to do more than you can imagine or think. It's an awesome privilege to be part of this royal family. I'm glad I'm part of this royal family. I hope you are too. The other thing, the other way of reacting to God's royal family is to obey his command. Verse 50, he says, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Now, I don't want us to misunderstand this. We don't become part of God's royal family by doing his will. But rather, we do God's will because we are part of God's royal family. We belong to God's royal family by grace. It's not through our own efforts. There's nothing we can do by our own to be able to get to God's royal family. Maybe you think, I need to stop sinning before I become a Christian. That's hopeless. That's so impossible. Because it's through the Holy Spirit that we can actually obey God. And we receive this Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He sends his comforter. He sends his friend that stays with us, that guides us, that leads us, that helps us to obey God. Doing God's will is a sign, is a symptom, is a transformation that happens in our life. And that transformation happens when we become part of his family. So when you find yourself as a Christian doing things differently from the way the world does things, don't be surprised. It's because you're part of this royal family. God is transforming you through his Holy Spirit to be more like his royal son, Jesus Christ. Maybe you have this burning desire, wanting to speak about Jesus to each and everybody you see, even your family members and friends, and they even hate you for that, but you just can't help it. You just keep talking about Jesus. When you're sick, the first thing that comes to your mind is Jesus. When you're struggling, the first thing that comes to your mind is Jesus. When you need help, you're saying, Jesus, please help me. It's not like the way the world looks at it. Somebody who's not a believer will think, what is he talking about? Fix it for yourself. But no, the royal family depends on the royal son for help. And the royal son is able to do more than we can think or imagine. So we're in safe hands depending on the royal son. Life in the royal family has a great influence in our lives. Just like how your earthly family has a great influence in you, you grow up behaving, resembling with many people from your family. That's exactly what happens when we are in this royal family of our Lord Jesus Christ. He changes us, he transforms us, he molds us, and makes us like the royal son, Jesus Christ. And this transformation will continue until we meet him face to face. That's what being part of the royal family means. It means trusting God through Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to mold us, to change us, to make us more like the royal son. So looking at what verse 50 says, it says, whoever, that's the will of the Father, will of my Father in heaven, is my brother and my sister. So what is the will of the Father? What's the will of God for his royal family? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So it's God's will that everyone who sees the royal son believes in him and receive eternal life. God's will is that all who believe in him receive eternal life. And that's why God went all his way to send his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to come and die on the cross for us. The perfect, sure, and worthy sacrifice, Jesus, came and died on the cross for us. He was the only one who could ever do that. Nobody else, because he was perfect. He was worthy. If I died on the cross for the person I love, it's a wasted death, because I'm not worthy. But Jesus' death on the cross was worthy because he was pure. He was the Son of God. The only person who could ever do that is him. Without Jesus, we were all lost. But now, by his grace, he has found us and called us out of darkness into this wonderful royal family. And we see how he called the disciples. These disciples he's using right now in this text as a model people. He's calling them as part of his family, his brothers, his mother, putting them in the same level with his dear family. Calls them from different backgrounds. Some were tax collectors, some were fishermongers. But when they heard the voice of Jesus, come and follow me, they left everything they were doing to follow him. And that's what God expects of us. Leave everything we're doing to follow him. By doing that, when the believers answer, when the disciples answer to this call of Jesus, come and follow me. When they left everything they were doing to follow him, left their jobs as tax collectors, fishmongers, something they've been doing for the rest of their life, they just put it aside to follow him. By doing that, they took the first step of joining this wonderful royal family of Jesus Christ. And once they followed him, once they joined that family, they did not stop. They followed Jesus everywhere he went. And we see in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is actually commissioning them. He's sending them out to go and tell this wonderful good news. The good news which Jesus himself was speaking. Now he's sending them. He's trusting them with this worthy message to go and tell the world. And that's what Jesus has called us to do as well, to go and tell the nations about this good news. Now we see the disciples have now graduated from being followers to being ambassadors of God, representing and telling people about this wonderful family of God. Can I ask you, are you an ambassador of God? Are you telling your friends and family members about this wonderful kingdom, about this great news? Or are you just keeping it to yourself, enjoying the royal parks by yourself? Because God's royal family obey him by following after his example, which is teaching, talking, and telling people about the good news. And us, part of the royal family, that's what we are called to do, to talk, to tell people about this good news. We are Christ ambassadors, those representing the kingdom, those telling people about this good news they've never heard about, something maybe they have a lot of misunderstanding about, but us who know for real what it means to be part of this royal family, we have a right to tell the world what we experience, what we see, what we know. Or maybe you're shy, thinking, what will people say about me? Oh, if I speak to my family members, they're going to mock me. Or my friends will distance from me. My workmates will start thinking, well, he's weird. But that's part of being part of this royal family. Tell people. But above all, we can't really do it by ourselves. We can trust the Holy Spirit for this. The Holy Spirit equips us. The Holy Spirit helps us. It enables us to have courage to speak about the goodness of God. So why don't we pray to Jesus to help us? If you're shy, pray to God He will help you. He will equip you. He will enable you to speak this good news to the world. God is faithful. As we read on Tuesday, if those who were with us on Tuesday, we read from Matthew chapter 7, learning how to pray. Jesus is comparing, trying to put godly fathers, how a godly father cannot give his son a stone instead of bread, how a godly earthly father cannot give his son a scorpion instead of an egg. I think about if Jemima asked me for bread, will I give her a stone? No, I won't do that. And this is what Jesus said. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So if we earthly fathers are faithful to those we love, how much more to our God, Heavenly Father, who sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for us? If you ask me if I could ever send my son, Elkanah, to die for anybody, I'll tell you, no. But God sends his one and only Son to die for us. And that's how important we are. That's how much he loves the world. That's how much he wants the world to be part of this royal family. That's what means being part of this royal family. Depending on Jesus, even in our struggles, in our spiritual life, we have somebody we can call to and say, please help me. And he's always willing. He's ready to help. As I conclude, I want to encourage you, if you are not a Christian here today, to take it seriously. Think about it. Don't be like this Ghanaian royalty who missed out on royal parks for such a long time. She lived as an ordinary person for so long, not knowing that actually she deserved more than she was actually getting in her ordinary life. She was royalty. Don't be like her. Say yes to Jesus today. Welcome him to your life. And start enjoying the royal perks, the privileges of being in this royal family of God. Be like the disciples. When they heard the voice of the Master, come and follow me, they left everything and followed him. Come and follow me immediately. It means you're taking your worries to him. You're taking your fears to him. All the questions you have right now, you're trusting God to actually give you answers to those questions. Come and follow me. If you're a Christian here today, let's marvel at this wonderful gift of God, this wonderful gift of being in this royal family. We are so privileged to be in this royal family. Let's trust God through prayers to help us in our struggles. Because God did not promise us plain sailing life in salvation. No. But he's promised us a helping hand throughout our struggles. We can surely ask for help. We can surely call to him, and he is there, and he is willing to help us in our struggles. And he's gonna be with us all the way until that time when we meet him face to face. So let's keep praying for him to help us as we walk this life and as we live in this royal family as I finish, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I will thank you so much for the great privilege of being part of the royal family. Father, thank you so much for sending your one and only Son to come and die on the cross for us, to come and die for people who did not even deserve this. But yet you found us worthy to send your only Son to come and die on the cross for us. Please help us to live as those who belong in this royal family. Help us to understand and to know what exactly it means to be part of this royal family. And to those who are Christians, who are not Christians here today, please, I pray, help them to have the courage to join this royal family. Father, we thank you as we continue in our church worship today. Please be with us. Help us and help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.